for Lialogos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Lialogos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now.
Δεν ασκορπά το μέτωπο σου, χρύση βροχή στον ουρανό, και θα'ν το ωραίο πρόσωπό σου κι απ' το φεγγάρι πιο χλωμό, και θα'ν το ωραίο πρόσωπό σου κι απ' το φεγγάρι πιο χλωμό.
Όταν θα σμίξουν οι καρδιές μας, όλα θα λάμψουν αλλιώς, και θα χαθεί μες στις σκιές μας όλος ο κόσμος ο παλιός. Και θα χαθεί μες στις σκιές μας όλος ο κόσμος ο παλιός.
Η μέρα εκείνη δεν θα αργήσει, κυνηγημένο μου πουλί, σε πήρε κάποτε η δύση, σε ξαναφέρνει ανατολή, σε πήρε κάποτε η δύση, σε ξαναφέρνει ανατολή. Εκείνη δεν θα αργήσει, κυνηγημένο μου πουλί, σε πήρε κάποτε η δύση, σε ξαναφέρνει ανατολή, σε πήρε κάποτε η δύση, σε ξαναφέρνει ανατολή.
That was Dimitra Galani along with Manos Loizos starting us off today with Imera Kini Den Tha Argisi here on Lialogos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which bridges the global Greek community and which airs worldwide on 19 radio stations across 5 continents, shortwave and online. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and today on our broadcast we will feature, as part of the Lialogos interview series, an interview with renowned political scientist and scholar Yorgos Kontogiorgis of the Pantheon University of Athens. Kontogiorgis will talk to us about timely political and constitutional issues that are of importance in Greece at this time, and will offer us his proposals as to how Greece's political and justice system, as well as its constitution, could be reformed. And following this interview, stay tuned for our Commentary of the Week segment, where we will discuss the first 3 months of the Syriza-led government in Greece and her latest controversial actions. Coming up now, though, here on Lialogos Radio, is this week's edition of the Lialogos Interview Series, and our interview with professor and scholar Yorgos Kontogiorgis.
He the Diálogos Interview Series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio.
Joining us today here on the Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos Interview Series is Yorgos Kontogiorgis, Professor of Political Science at the Pandio University of Athens. The author of many books and academic articles, Kontogiorgis is an expert on many issues pertaining to governance and constitutional issues, and he has taught as a visiting professor at numerous international universities. Mr. Kontogiorgis, to get us started, 5 years ago, former Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou agreed to bring Greece under the supervision of the IMF and a so-called Troika, as part of the agreement for the country's so-called bailout. In your opinion, were these agreements with the IMF and the Troika that were made by previous governments legal? Are the laws which were derived from these agreements legal? And in addition, does the new government's recent agreement with its lenders at the Eurogroup summit have a legal basis? I would say that these memorandum agreements simply confirm the problem. They do not have a legal basis, but they instead show that the Greek political class is trying to shift its responsibilities for the Greek problem to third parties overseas. What do I mean by this? What I mean is that the primary cause of the crisis in Greece is not the same as what we saw in the United States, where the financial crisis began, or even in countries like Ireland. The causes of the Greek crisis lie exclusively within the Greek state, the Greek political system, and specifically the political class which rules the country. In a methodical manner, beginning after the fall of Greece's military dictatorship in 1974, and especially beginning in the 1980s, the Greek state was structured in such a way that it could only be described as a system of pillage. To explain what this means, one needs to examine the historical structures of the Greek state, dating back to the days of Bavarian rule, because the most recent crisis, or destruction, if you will, of Greece is simply the latest in a string of catastrophes for Greece and not a seemingly random occurrence. In the United States and elsewhere, the crisis emerged as a result of the way in which the financial system operated, the fact that it was heavily deregulated and required state intervention in order to be reformed. So this is an issue that had to do with political control over the markets in these countries, including the United States. Conversely, what happened in Greece is that the country's so-called democratic system of governance, but which in reality is an elected monarchy with an oligarchic structure, was simply used as a system that operated entirely under the ownership of the country's political party structure. This party structure, instead of serving simply as a mediator or administrator of the political system, instead became one and the same as the political system, leading to policies that have nothing to do with the popular will or interest. This phenomenon, beginning in the 1970s and especially since the 1980s, resulted in the development of a heavily partisan Greek state from the very top all the way to the last clerk at every level of the state. At the same time, a parasitic, clientelist economy developed, resulting in the pillaging of the economy by the state and by those who were well connected to the state. The more the system becomes entrenched, the more it is propped up by the legal system and even by the constitution, while the country's intellectual class was mobilized to justify the system's existence while shifting blame for the country's problems elsewhere toward Greek society. This is the basic cause of the crisis in Greece, and that is why I said earlier that the memorandum agreements merely reinforce the fact that blame for Greece's problems is simply being shifted overseas by the country's political class and the political parties, instead of there being even now recognition on the part of this political class and these political parties and the enforcement of measures to rebuild the economy. The markets did give Greece enough time to move forward with internal reforms, to stop the scandals, the squandering of public funds, and all of the policies
legacies of the past, reforms which were avoided in the past due to the supposed political cost that would have resulted. The same is true of the management of these memorandum agreements. I once said that the enforcement of this system was similar to a drug addiction. Instead of taking measures to surpass this problem and exit the memorandum agreements so that Greece could function as an autonomous and normal country, the political class was instead talking about how it could receive the next dose, the next installment, and how to enforce the policies demanded by Greece's lenders. This is what led us and what continues to lead us to an even deeper crisis in Greece. We have no hopes of emerging out of this crisis if the political system in a Greek state is not restructured, if Greece's politics, its political system, its state structure, its justice system, and legal system which permits such patronage and corruption are not reformed. The Greek state structure breeds corruption, it breeds deficits, and it does not permit economic growth. It resembles an occupation force which has been placed in control of Greek society rather than a force which would allow Greek society to develop and flourish.
Σαν ένα κράτος κατοχής πάνω στην ελληνική κοινωνία και όχι απελευθέρωση των υγιών δυνάμεων της κοινωνίας.
We are speaking with scholar and author Yorgos Kontoriorgis here on the Dialogos Radio and in the Dialogos interview series. And Mr. Kontoriorgis, while it was still the main opposition party and again during the pre-election period, many key figures within Syriza kept stating that the previous government's practice of issuing and enforcing a large number of executive or presidential decrees was illegal and unconstitutional. And yet, the new Syriza government recently pushed through a presidential decree which essentially confiscates the cash reserves of Greek state agencies and services, including universities and insurance funds, and transfers these reserves to the Central Bank of Greece. Does this presidential decree have any legal basis in your view? And is Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras's promise that this is only a temporary measure convincing in your view?
Κοιτάξτε, είναι δύο διαφορετικά πράγματα. Η πράξη νομοθετικού περιεχομένου είναι καταχρηστική.
We are talking about two separate issues here. The executive decree is overly excessive with regards to the matter for which it was issued. As a result, the promise that this decree will only last until the end of June has to do with whether these cash reserves will be returned. This executive decree is excessive because it is not being issued for a matter which will save the country. It is not a response to a national emergency, but rather a response to political conditions which relate to how Greece has been driven into its current crisis. Allow me to add something else, however. The current government followed the same exact practice and with the same exact goals as its predecessors, without there being any goal for the reform of the Greek state. Let's not forget that after 3 months in power, the only measures implemented by the current government, which claims to be of the left and indeed of the radical left, which could perhaps be construed as leftist, are the release of accused terrorist Savas Xiros, the response to demands of anarchists, and a return of the political party system and academic asylum to Greek universities, something which signals that the current government simply wishes to restore the old system and reestablish its presence in the universities instead of living up to their responsibilities and reforming this system. These are measures that bring us back to the old way of governance. There is nothing coming from the new government that bears any recognition of the crucial times the country is living through. It should also be mentioned here, though, that there is another parameter that should also be considered when discussing the executive decrees, the fact that the Greek constitution is systematically violated from top to bottom by Greece's political class, regardless of which party is in power. The basic agreement which exists between the political parties is to violate the clauses of the constitution and to transform it into a document which falls under the ownership and control of the political parties. This is not a phenomenon which has simply emerged recently as a result of the crisis in the memorandum agreements. It was the case previously as well. The crisis has made the situation worse, but we are talking about a historical problem here. No matter which article of the Constitution we look at, we will see that it is being violated. For example, one constitutional violation which we often see is the violation of the right of members of parliament to vote according to their conscience, a right which is violated through direct or indirect party discipline. What does this mean? Any decision that is made in one's public or private life through the use of force is illegitimate. These laws are, in essence, illegitimate. They should not be enforced by the courts and by the bureaucracy. We could also talk about the issue of one man, one vote, a principle which is violated by Greece's election law with regards to the way in which parliamentary seats are tallied and the fact that only positive votes toward any of the parties are counted. What do we see as a result is that if we calculate what percentage the governing party receives with relation to the total body of voters, we find that small minorities are governing us, which present themselves in parliament as majorities. I could provide many additional examples explaining why the country's political system is the cause of the destruction of the country. The most important issue, however, is the fact that Greece's political class is not just subject to the country's laws and system of justice. The most important issue, however, is the fact that Greece's political class is not subject to the country's laws and system of justice. When we talk about a system of justice in Greece, we are simply referring to justice for ordinary citizens. Political personnel is not included within this definition. They are above the law, just as in the era of absolute rule. If a politician violates the law, even in their private life, there are regulations in place which allow them to avoid being brought to justice, such as parliamentary asylum. Now, it is true that such asylum exists in all political systems around the world, but in Greece it's excessive, just as the rules in Greece with regards to the privileges enjoyed by politicians and the fact that they are exempt from prosecution for whatever they do, for whatever harm they bring upon a country, even for violations of the law in their ordinary life, are excessive as well. I've said in the past that even if the most notorious criminal, someone like Al Capone, was asked to develop a legal system in which they would be exempt from punishment for their crimes, they would not be able to craft or even to imagine such an elaborate legal structure. And this structure is plainly visible from the parliamentary commissions of inquiry which have been formed, but this is another issue to be discussed separately.
Τις περίφημες εξεταστικές επιτροπές, ξέρετε. Αλλά είναι ένα άλλο θέμα, εν πάση περιπτώσει, που μας πηγαίνει αλλού.
We are speaking with scholar and author Yorgos Kontogiorgis here on the Dialogos Radio and in the Dialogos interview series. And Mr. Kontogiorgis, before we discuss these commissions of inquiry, I wanted to return to another issue which you just highlighted regarding the asylum enjoyed by Greek politicians. You have spoken in the past about the need to abolish Article 86 of the Greek Constitution. What are the provisions of this article, and why do you believe that it should be abolished? Let me answer by way of example. If I cause harm to you in some way, you can turn to the justice system and request justice for the crime that was committed. However, if a politician causes harm to an entire country, that country as a whole does not have any way to request the issuance of justice against that politician. That is why I maintain that it is of utmost importance for everyone to agree that the nature of Greece's political system is such that it resembles an absolute elected monarchy, a monarchy which is not hereditary or provide for lifelong rule, but instead governs for a fixed period of time. I've explained that this is the case everywhere around the world, but in Greece, the situation is excessive, a mockery of itself. With regards to the destruction of Greece, there are parties who are responsible. It is not the global capitalist class or ill-intentioned foreigners. It is the global financial crisis which exposed the political class of Greece, because they had already looted the country and driven it into a degenerative state. Despite the fact that there are specific parties who are responsible for the crisis, it is society as a whole that is being asked to pay the price, and particularly the poorer strata of society. Shouldn't someone be held responsible for this? Should the responsible parties not be found? The Greek Constitution itself provides that if Parliament is convened for even one day and then new elections are called, all of the illegal acts of the members of Parliament are written off. Even if violations of the law are discovered, even if they have stolen or they have grossly violated the Constitution or violated the public interest, they are not subject to justice. And if new elections are held, these violations are simply written off. This is an insult toward Greek society, and in particular at a time when society is suffering. What I keep saying is that if these politicians want to show that they have even the slightest sensitivity or desire to change direction and to enforce the measures that are necessary for the country to recover and to change paths, they need to punish those who are responsible for the crisis in order to send a message to those in the future who might think of committing similar acts, and also to bring about a sense that justice has been served.
It is not fair, not right, for society to pay the price for the misdeeds of such individuals, for the country to be left under the rule of its lenders and the same individuals which brought the country to its current situation, while these same individuals flash their middle finger to society. This is what Article 86 of the Greek Constitution does. If the political class wants to show repentance, all they have to do is to restore the charges for all of these past crimes. One easy way in which this could be done, according to the Greek Constitution, is for the Greek Parliament to unanimously suspend Article 86. However, there is an even simpler method. Instead of establishing parliamentary commissions of inquiry and other committees to investigate these charges, something which is completely paradoxical in an advanced and democratic system, as you are essentially asking the political class to investigate itself, what could happen is that prosecutors and a justice system could lead the investigation, and a Greek Parliament with one signature could transfer the investigation of all of these issues to the system of justice. In this way, there could be catharsis even from within this otherwise rotten constitutional system, which essentially breeds the corrupt party structure of the country. However, this is not being done by the new government. They have not even changed the law regarding the legal responsibilities of members of parliament or the parliamentary regulation regarding this issue. They have not done so not because they are unaware, but because they have no intention to change the logic and structure of the political system, to change direction, and to build a new relationship of trust between the political system, citizens, and society as a whole.
Να δημιουργήσουν μια νέα σχέση εμπιστοσύνης μεταξύ αυτών, δηλαδή του πολιτικού συστήματος και της κοινωνίας, της κοινωνικής συλλογικότητας.
We are speaking with scholar and author Yorgos Kontoyiorgis here on the Adagos Radio and the Adagos interview series. And Mr. Kontoyiorgis, continuing our discussion on Greek constitutional issues, what does Article 120 of the Greek Constitution provide, and how could the Greek people put this article into effect in your view?
Το άρθρο 120 που προβλέπει ακριβώς την προστασία του συντάγματος του πολιτεύματος της χώρας.
Article 120 of the Greek Constitution makes provisions for the responsibility of the Greek citizenry to protect the Constitution and the state. It is an article which is rhetorical in nature. There are two ways in which a citizen could act in the spirit of this article. First, to undertake individual actions, legal and non-legal, in an emergency situation if the structure of the Greek state is under attack. Can you imagine what would happen if someone, however, actually attempted to do this and to take action under Article 120 against the political class for their actions, their constitutional violations, and the destruction through their decisions of the country? Or if there was an uprising? This is why Article 120 is rhetorical in nature, because society, what we call society in any event, is something which is unstructured. In every system across the world, society essentially refers to private actors. Every citizen is a citizen for themselves only. A citizen is not part of some sort of broader structure which could express viewpoints and volition and could make decisions which could judge or even recall a politician. Society is not part of the official structure of the state. That is why society is referred to as a cultural body, one which exists outside of the state instead of civil society, which is a political definition of society. All of us have opinions. However, for the whole of society to be able to present an opinion, it is not enough to simply go from person to person and to ask their opinion and to draw conclusions from that. What needs to happen is the development of a structured body of consultation between citizens, which would lead to a decision. This would be very different from simply tallying the totality of individual opinions. This is exactly how the democratic system, and prior to that, the representative system, operated in the ancient Greek polis. This is why the demos, the municipality, was created. This concept does not exist today except in a rhetorical sense, as seen with Article 120 of the Greek Constitution. What I would like to mention, though, is that the constitution that had been drafted by one of the members of the Greek Revolution of 1821, Rigas Velestinlis, did make such provisions as it was based on the historic political structure of democracy from ancient times, prior to the formation of the modern nation-state. In this structure,
structure, society was the limos, and it undertook and made decisions as a whole and based its laws upon these decisions. This is not the case in the present-day system of nation-states. This explains why the political system, and by extension political figures, act in such an autonomous manner with relation to society. We do not have a system of immediate and mandatory harmonization of politics and the will of society. Instead, the political class decides what society wants, what is in the public interest, what is in the interest of the country, and what is not in the country's interest. In other words, the political class is both the ruler and the representative that is being ruled. In such a structure, society does not exist outside of the existence of the individual citizen who is subject to the will of the state. We are speaking with scholar and author Yorgos Kontoyiorgis here on the Dialogos Radio and in the Dialogos interview series. And Mr. Kontoyiorgis, earlier you referred to the Parliamentary Commissions of Inquiry, and what we have seen recently is the establishment of several such commissions to investigate matters such as Greece's public debt and the memorandum agreements which were signed by previous governments. At the same time, though, the Prime Minister, the Finance Minister, and other high-level government ministers keep saying, for instance, that the totality of Greece's public debt will be repaid in perpetuity. Do you believe that these parliamentary commissions were formed merely for the purposes of PR and public consumption? And how likely is it that such commissions of inquiry would even be able to deliver actual results, reforms, and lead to the delivery of justice?
Προφανώς όχι. Όχι μόνο διότι είναι ανακόλουθο.
Obviously, this will not be the case, not only because the formation of these commissions of inquiry is inconsistent with the government's statements that it will repay its lenders in full, but also because the nature of such parliamentary commissions of inquiry is such that they do not result in enforceable decisions. One needs to look no further than the statements made by leading politicians to understand the relationship between these commissions and the political system. We had the finance minister, who is of course serving at the pleasure of the prime minister, state that the mission of these parliamentary commissions does not include the issuance of criminal charges against any responsible party, while the prime minister himself stated that justice for politicians is issued by the citizens during each election. What does this mean? The prime minister says that elections serve as the citizens' means to try politicians. If this is indeed the case, though, it means that if I, as a politician, commit a crime, all I need to do is declare elections, and society will decide whether or not I should be held responsible for this crime. Elections are meant to decide the future of the country's governance, who will govern the country in the upcoming period. They are not meant to be instruments of justice. The justice system is the instrument of justice. This is blindingly obvious. Therefore, it follows that these parliamentary commissions of inquiry, as also stated by the finance minister, simply have a goal of informing society as to what happened, to the extent that society does not already know. I also believe that the second goal of these parliamentary commissions is to serve as a relief valve of sorts for society, for people's anger towards politicians to simply dissipate. In my view, before we even decide whether any of Greece's debt is illegal or illegitimate or odious, and whether or not the lenders should be repaid, before we reach such a decision, what we need to do is to discover who is responsible for these debts, who created them, who approved and signed off on these decisions, and under which system and which acts of corruption. This means that certain individuals need to go to prison. No one is able to decide if 30 or 50 or 70% of the debt or the entirety of the debt is illegitimate or illegal and whether it should be written off or not if the responsible parties are not first held accountable. It is different for a debt, even an odious one, to have been accumulated as a result of a state of emergency and for some public purpose, and it is different for such a debt to have been accumulated on purpose, as is the case with Greece. Therefore, we cannot say that we will simply write off these debts. For instance, part of Greece's public debt came as a result of the Siemens scandal, then it follows that those who signed the contracts, both on the part of the Greek state and also on a part of Siemens and the German state, should be held responsible and should be imprisoned before the issue regarding the non-repayment of this debt is raised. These issues, however, are not in the minds of those who established these commissions, because as they themselves stated, their mission is simply to inform Greek society as to what happened.
Στα μυαλά αυτών που συγκρότησαν τις επιτροπές αυτές, γιατί κατά την δήλωσή τους σκοπός είναι μόνο να ενημερωθεί η κοινωνία γι' αυτό.
We are speaking with scholar and author Yorgos Kontogiorgis here on the Dialogos Radio and in the Dialogos interview series. And Mr. Kontogiorgis, in your view, what should a general revision or reform of the Greek constitution, the Greek political system, and the Greek system of justice consist of?
Έχω ήδη εκφραστεί ως προς αυτό πάρα πολλές φορές, περίπου το διάγραμμα μέσα στο οποίο θα έπρεπε να...
I have already spoken many times about this, and I've presented a basic structure of how a constitutional revision could take place in our discussion up until now. I am not talking about overthrowing the current oligarchic system at this time, or the development of a representative or democratic system, because that leads us to other areas of discussion, and at this time I do not think anyone is demonstrating in favor of such a thing happening. What I believe could happen, however, is for the purview of the justice system to be expanded to include the political class. You know, Aristotle and Polybius said that crimes committed by politicians should be punished more harshly than crimes committed by private citizens, even if they are the same crime, because the crime committed by a politician impacts the entirety of society, whereas a crime committed by a private citizen impacts an individual. The first priority now in Greece should be the restoration of a sense of justice and for political figures to fall under the purview of the justice system. The second priority should be the implementation of measures within this framework for political bodies to be formed which would be fully harmonized with society as a whole, with its interests and volition, instead of the current clientelist system where special interests are the ones which have influence. For this to happen, there will need to be a series of ways in which politicians and the state can be continuously evaluated and judged, and in which the will of society can be simultaneously measured. What I am speaking of is not necessarily a transition to a representative system of government, but an increase of representation within the current system. What does this mean? It means that there needs to be some way in which the volition and outlook of society regarding legal and political initiatives undertaken by their government needs to be measured. This is something which nowadays can easily be accomplished through the use of polling mechanisms. In the past, I have spoken about the polling deficit which exists in Greece. There are a couple of possibilities here. For every legal proposal that is made by the government, the volition and opinion of society can be measured from a static sample, and as we know, such a poll could give us a very exact figure as to what public opinion is on a certain issue. Therefore, it is possible for the will of society to be measured and taken into account in the basic political decisions that are made. And of course, there is a formation of a live social body, or demos, which could possibly exist and which could even undertake its own political initiatives. Can you imagine, though, what would happen if the political decisions that are being made in any country across the world at any time were subject to the will of society or the expression of society's interests? Governments around the world would be obliged to consider fully the will of society and to develop policies which would, either by law or other governmental decisions, enforce this societal will. How could this be implemented, however? Through the continuous polling of society. We would very quickly determine that there is more than one viewpoint that exists with regard to the political decisions that should be implemented above and beyond the viewpoint which allows the market to dictate policy. We could instead have the beginnings of a system which would develop alternative policies which would reflect the interest of society and for which there would be a continuous measurement of public opinion direct from society. What therefore needs to happen, in my view, is a departure from the narrow political system which only takes into account the existing balance of power, and instead a transition towards a new political context, a new relationship between society and politics, which will also, of course, take into account the economy, but which will not marginalize the will of society. In other words, what is needed is for society in the future to transition to a system where its will and volition is recognized as part of the institutional structure of the political system in order for a new political balance of power to be formulated, which will take into account, as part of the agenda of political discourse, the interests of society.
Ώστε να δημιουργηθεί μια νέα ισορροπία που θα λαμβάνει υπόψη στην ατζέντα του πολιτικού διαλόγου το συμφέρον της.
We are speaking with scholar and author Yorgos Kontoriorgis here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. And Mr. Kontoriorgis, one last important issue that I would like to discuss prior to wrapping up our interview has to do with the operation of the broadcast media in Greece. We see the unconstitutional, according to the Greek High Court, the Council of State, operation of the regulatory body for broadcasting, the National Radio Television Commission. And we also see the unconstitutional, again according to the Council of State, situation in which radio and television stations continue to operate without valid broadcast licenses, while just one company was illegally issued a license to build out and operate the entire network of digital television transmission facilities for all of Greece. What consequences does this ongoing situation have for democracy and for public discourse in Greece?
Πρώτα-πρώτα να διευκρινίσουμε ότι δεν έχει επιπτώσεις στη δημοκρατία, διότι δεν υπάρχει δημοκρατία. Πρέπει να είμαστε συνεπείς.
First, we need to clarify that this situation does not have any consequences for democracy, quite simply because there is no democracy in Greece. We need to be very honest when analyzing the political system. There is no way that the current system in Greece can be defined as democratic. That is the main issue. Therefore, what we need to ask is what the consequences of this current system are broadcasting in Greece are for the operation of the existing political system, which allows policymaking to be determined by the existing balance of power and not through a process that takes into account the interest of society as a whole. Within such a context, we find that the broadcast landscape in Greece has been constructed with a view towards the ownership of the very political system of Greece by the state or by private actors, who then use this cultural and political tool that is at their disposal, meaning their television or radio stations, as a sort of raw material, such as cotton, for instance, which they can purchase, process, transform into a product, and then resell. But there is one basic difference here. The raw material that is processed by the broadcast industry is our political system and our culture, the very things which bind our society together. If someone has the ability to process, and indeed without cost, this raw material, which is called politics, it means that they hold ownership rights over politics. This individual has the power to determine the context of the political discourse taking place, the agenda of this political discourse, and who has and who does not have a say within this discourse. This leads us, as you understand, to a lawless or feudal system. What the Council of State ruled upon is not the root cause of the issue, the lawless state of broadcasting which began in 1989 in Greece and which continues today, while the regulatory body, the National Radio Television Commission, has been made powerless without any political will to change the members that comprise it, whose terms have long expired. Instead, the state continues to rely upon a balance of power and a political administration of legality. This brings us to the main issue. How can we develop a broadcast landscape which is harmonized with the principles of pluralism and freedom of information? We should not forget that in this day and age, the broadcast landscape does not operate as a mere mediator of information and political news to and from society. It is a space in which politics are formed, where the political agenda is developed to a very broad extent, alongside the corruption and patronage and the relationships which exist between the owners of these media outlets in the state. When, in 1989, I was the president of Greek National Public Broadcaster ERT, I discussed this issue with the then government at a time when private radio and television broadcasting was first being introduced in Greece. I was ignored, as were my appeals to the Council of State. Instead, the broadcast landscape was allowed to develop in a manner which could be described as snatch and grab. Whoever wanted to and whoever got there first was able to snatch a broadcast frequency and to open a television or radio station. At that time, I had proposed the formation of the National Radio Television Commission, but my proposals had to do with the development of a constitutional framework which would govern the operation of these media outlets and which would detach the system from the ownership over politics, with the National Radio Television Commission serving as the regulatory oversight body. Instead of this happening, however, they took the bipartisan commission, which I had ousted from public broadcaster ERT, and planted it in the National Radio Television Commission. And even today, the distance from this old bipartisan commission is very small. The political parties, instead of creating a framework in which the National Radio Television Commission could operate as an independent regulatory body, have transformed this body into yet another partisan commission whose members are all connected to the political parties. Nor are the proposed laws, which would regulate the ownership of the media outlets, strong enough to lead lead us towards the correct direction and regulation of the broadcast landscape, because these laws, which would require multiple owners for one media outlet, fail to consider that it does not matter whether there is one owner or many, that one owner would supposedly be more susceptible to being influenced compared to many, but instead, the distinction which should exist between the media system and ownership over the political system. There is no such thing as freedom of information without the freedom for journalists to have the ability to discuss and relay the will of society. Unfortunately, though, this freedom is instead being transformed and abused to restrict the freedom of society and its freedom to have a say in the political discourse, instead of being a mere spectator or consumer. We see this because the business person who has control over the broadcast landscape transforms politics into a commodity which is to be consumed by the audience, the public, and this public is therefore transformed from a body which represents the public interest and a partner in a political process of society into a consumer for whom decisions are made by the media owner. Therefore, the main issue with regards to the reformation of the media landscape is not merely the issuance of new licenses and the collection of license fees by the state, which is also important, but the development of a new framework in which the media system is detached from the political system and which will abide by its constitutional role to provide a pluralistic presentation of the political life of society. We do see this taking place slowly on the internet, where the media owner does not have nearly a stronger role, except in instances where major political interventions take place. The dynamic that we see unfolding online, however, takes place outside of the system of ownership that I have described. Even with all of the imperfections of the online system, it is detached from the structure in which the state or the media owner have full control over the system. This could therefore influence the reform of the broadcast landscape into one which is completely detached from the ownership over politics. Any business person or investor who wishes to operate in the media system should be able to, but they should not have the right to use the power that the media outlet affords them for corrupt ends or to take control over the political process of society.
Για να κάνει διαπλοκές, όπως επίσης δεν έχει και δικαίωμα να ιδιοποιείται τον τρόπο της λειτουργίας της πολιτικής.
Mr. Kondogiorgis, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series.
Attention iTunes users, Diálogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to Diálogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. Take Diálogos Radio on the go with you with the new Diálogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to Diálogos Radio and Diálogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles, all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store.
We just wrapped up this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series here on Diálogos Radio, where we spoke with scholar and professor Yorgos Kondogiorgis of the Pantheon University of Athens. As with all of our interviews, the podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, where you can also find our on-demand programming, our articles and written work, our past playlists, and listen to our online radio station, Diálogos Radio 24/7. Our podcasts are also available in the official Diálogos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and for Google Chrome, and in iTunes, TuneIn.com, the Windows Marketplace, and Inobex Radio, WeCast, and Player FM apps for various smartphones. Coming up now here on Diálogos Radio is some more great Greek music, followed by our commentary of the week.
φεύγεις από μένα και σε χάνω. Ένα σου λέω, μην αλλάξεις ουρανό. Σημαδιά αφήνε στα σύννεφα πάνω, γιατί δεν πρέπει να χαθούμε εμείς οι δυο. Σημαδιά αφήνε στα σύννεφα πάνω, γιατί δεν πρέπει να χαθούμε εμείς οι δυο. Δώσε μου λιγάκι ουρανό, πάρε με μαζί στο πέταγμα σου, μάθε με και εμένα να πετώ. Να μην έχω ανάγκη τα φτερά σου. Κι αν κάτι άλλο την καρδιά σου έχει πάρει, ένα σου λέω, μην αλλάξεις ουρανό. Θα έρχονται νύχτες που θα ψάχνεις το φεγγάρι και το δικό μου τελευταίο σ' αγαπώ. Θα έρχονται νύχτες που θα ψάχνεις το φεγγάρι και το δικό μου τελευταίο σ' αγαπώ. Δώσε μου λιγάκι ουρανό, πάρε με μαζί στο πέταγμα. Μάθε με και εμένα να πετώ. Να μην έχω ανάγκη τα φτερά σου. Δώσε μου λιγάκι ουρανό, πάρε με μαζί στο πέταγμα σου. Μάθε με και εμένα να πετώ. Να μην έχω ανάγκη τα φτερά σου.
Dialogos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Dialogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com.
We just heard Yannis Parios with Το Σημάδι του Έρωτα. Coming up now here on Dialogos Radio is our commentary of the week. Dialogos Radio's Commentary of the Week. Each week, Michael Nevradakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on Dialogos Radio.
The government of hope and of the radical left has struck again, this time with an executive decree which forces all state bodies in Greece, ranging from local governments and insurance funds to universities, to transfer their cash reserves to the Bank of Greece. Such decrees were a favored practice of the previous government, and indeed, it was through such a decree that they forcibly shut down national state broadcaster ERT. Let's take a moment to look back at what high-ranking members of Syriza were saying about such executive decrees when they were still the main opposition party. The current Deputy Minister of Social Welfare, Dimitris Stratoulis, once stated that such executive decrees are equivalent to a stripping away of Greece's popular sovereignty. The current Minister of the Interior, Nikos Voutsis, once stated that such executive decrees draw their inspiration from military dictatorships. Member of the European Parliament, Dimitris Papadimoudis, had said that in no other country is such an embarrassing practice enforced by the government. And even after the elections, as recently as March 17th, Stratoulis had stated that the government was promising not to touch the cash reserves of the state. Now, Stratoulis is saying that the executive decree is a patriotic act, the same words used by the finance minister of the previous government, Yanis Tourounaras, to justify similar actions in 2012. In the meantime, a theater of the absurd continues to unfold before our very eyes. At the same time that the Greek parliament has formed a commission to audit the legality of Greece's public debt, we hear continuous statements from the Prime Minister and from high-level members of Syriza that Greece will repay its lenders in full. Foreign Minister Nikos Kotsias stated that the European Union will not lose even 1 cent from its loans toward Greece. Government spokesman Gabriel Sakellaridis stated that the IMF will be repaid in full and on time. Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras has repeatedly stated that the loans from the IMF and the European Central Bank will be fully repaid, while even the conservative president of the Republic, Prokopis Pavlopoulos, who was nominated and elected by Syriza, has said that Greece will repay its debt to the last cent. However, the undisputed king of political doublespeak is none other than celebrity finance minister Yanis Varoufakis, who just in recent weeks alone has stated that Greece will squeeze blood from a stone to repay the IMF, that the IMF maintains views that he personally agrees with, that Europe is his homeland, that Greece's loans will be repaid in full and in perpetuity, and that Greece's debt is non-sustainable but legal. A legal debt, according to Varoufakis, at the same time that his government has formed a commission to audit this very same debt, a move which unfortunately seems to have been done simply for good PR and for domestic consumption. Even a removal of Varoufakis from the lead of Greece's negotiating team with its lenders will be of no consequence, however. His replacement, Euclid Tsakalotos, stems from the most exclusive upper-crust schools of the British elite and has stated in the past that he does not believe in a return to a national currency because, in his view, national economic systems are defunct. Meanwhile, in early April, the government paid a 448 million euro loan payment to the IMF, while at around the same time, Syriza legal advisor Petros Miarakis stated in a televised interview that the government went ahead with debt swaps totaling 49.4 billion euros, a sum which is added to Greece's public debt, which had already increased by 42 billion euros since the new government took power. The privatization program begun by the previous governments has continued, despite Syriza's pre-election promises to the contrary, with the vice president of the Greek government, Yanis Dragasakis, on a recent visit to China, characterizing the forthcoming sell-off of Greece's largest port to Chinese-owned COSCO as a deal that is, quote, mutually beneficial and highly competitive. The government is also moving forward with the privatization of 14 regional airports, as well as the site of the former International Airport of Athens, which was once slated to become Europe's largest urban park. We also had the recent visit of Prime Minister Tsipras to Moscow with a team of unnamed businessmen, and which was followed by statements by Defense Minister Panos Kamenos that Greece would create exclusive economic zones within Greek territory. And finally, we had Varoufakis in a recent speech given at the Brookings Institute in Washington, stating the government's intention to move forward with privatizations even at very low prices. While all this has been taking place, the economically and ecologically destructive gold mining activities in Skouries in
northern Greece, have continued, despite pre-election promises to the contrary. The unified property tax, which Syriza once deemed unconstitutional and had promised to abolish, continues to be enforced. The oh-so-leftist government is also moving forward with the formation of a second, parallel, and fully armed riot police force, while funding to daycare centers has been cut in half for the new school year, resulting in 40,000 fewer seats and 10,000 layoffs. And Deputy Minister for Administrative Reform George Katrugalos was reportedly ready to introduce legislation extending the terms of the president and members of Greece's broadcast regulator, even though their terms expired over 3 years ago, and despite the fact that Greece's High Court has declared the practice of extending their terms unconstitutional. And all of this has been happening while the government of hope and change has gone ahead with countless patronage appointments of family members, spouses, and partners of government ministers into key state posts, such as the patronage appointment of George Tsipras, cousin of Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras, as General Secretary of Greece's Foreign Ministry. But what else should we expect from a government which is comprised of the masters of corruption and patronage, former members of the PASOK political party, including Varoufakis, Katrugalos, Kodzias, and others? In contrast to all of those apologists who continue to say that the new government deserves more time and that it is premature to judge them, my opinion is that 3 months have been more than enough for Syriza to show its true face and to continue the same policies and practices as its predecessors. The sooner that the Greek people and the so-called global left realize this, the better.
Follow the Alagos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/thealagosmedia and at twitter.com/thealagosmedia. TheAlagosMedia.org, our website which brings you the latest news from the Alagos Radio, live streaming of the Alagos Radio 24/7, podcasts, on-demand programming, and much more. Visit us today at TheAlagosMedia.org. This is the Alagos Radio, the worldwide Greek radio program heard each week on 19 radio stations across the world, where today's program is just about ready to come to a close. We will be back again next week, same time, same place, with a highly interesting interview with Greek-American journalist and blogger Irene Arkos, who will speak to us about important issues facing the Greek diaspora, about her successful blog, Greek American Girl, and about the new foundation which she is in the process of establishing, which seeks to bring together women of Greek descent from all across the world. Be sure to also check out our website, thealagosmedia.org, where you can find our most recent interview, which was featured on Truthout, with scholar and analyst James Petras. We will wrap up today's program with one final song with Orefeas Peridis singing Fotovolida. Thank you very much for joining us today here on the Alagos Radio and have a wonderful weekend.
Μια φωτοβολίδα μες στη νύχτα σκάει και η καρδιά μου σπάει μες στο φως σε είδα γίναν τα κομμάτια μια καινούρια γη. Μες στην αλλαγή βλέπω μ' άλλα μάτια. Γίναν τα κομμάτια μια καινούρια γη. Μες στην αλλαγή βλέπω μ' άλλα μάτια. Όλα είναι ίδια αν δεν τα αγαπάς. Όλα μένουν ίδια άμα δεν τα πας. Κι όλα αυτά που είναι γίνονται ξανά μέσα απ' τη δικιά σου τη ματιά. Μέσα απ' τη δικιά σου τη ματιά. Μια φωτογραφία, κομματάκια δυο έχω να σε δω. Χρόνια στη αστεία κι αν ό,τι κολλάω σε ξανακοιτώ.
κι όμορφη θα ρω. Δείχνεις μου όσο πάω, όλα είναι ίδια αν δεν τα αγαπάς. Όλα μένουν ίδια άμα δεν τα πας. Κι όλα αυτά που είναι γίνονται ξανά μέσα απ' τη δικιά σου τη ματιά. Μέσα απ' τη δικιά σου τη ματιά. Στην καρδιά σου καίει μια μικρή φωτιά κι από τη ματιά ένα φως που ρέει σαν φωτοβολίδα. Μες στη νύχτα σκάει κι ας ξαναγυρνάει πίσω η σελίδα. Σα φωτοβολίδα μες στη νύχτα σκάει κι ας ξαναγυρνάει πίσω η σελίδα. Όλα είναι ίδια αν δεν τα αγαπάς. Όλα μένουν ίδια άμα δεν τα πας. Κι όλα αυτά που είναι γίνονται ξανά μέσα απ' τη δικιά σου τη ματιά. Μέσα απ' τη δικιά σου τη ματιά.